Hello, Peacemakers. It's Dawn Stone, also known as the Conflict Chick. I am a speaker, consultant, and coach who works with organizations and leaders to increase their confidence, their competence, and their connections. We are here in Season 6, Episode 10, as part of our Conflict Management Series. We've got 10 solid weeks of ways to really improve how we show up and how we manage conflict. So I wanted to let my audience know that I basically have set a life goal to reach 1 million people intentionally and teach them about conflict resolution and how it is the gateway to innovation, peace, and creativity. And so the only way we can do that is to really address what conflict looks like in its most simplest terms. And unfortunately, when we look at the research and the data, people, for the most part, have a negative connotation assigned to the word conflict. And what it has done is created almost like a barrier to people's willingness to even think about it as a full service, think about it as a strategy, think about it as something that could help a relationship as opposed to harm it. So today's topic is one that I took from a poll. I asked my, almost 7,000 followers on LinkedIn a question. And I said, you know, when it comes to conflict, where are you seeing it show up most often? And right now, we have a couple more days left, but I'm going to go ahead and address the overwhelming concern when it comes to conflict and conflict in the workplace. Okay, that's where people are really, they're really, really interested in addressing conflict at work because it impacts their happiness, it impacts their willingness to perform, their willingness to even show up some days. And so I want to take the time now and give you a quick overview of how we can leverage conflict in a positive way to increase our confidence. Okay, so that, and we'll start with workplace because it also helps you in your confidence personally as well. But since workplace is the biggest one, we'll start there. So let me give you a real life scenario. There is a client who has a set of students who are constantly in, I would say, a verbal battle. Okay. So the students and the leaders in these agencies, as well as the clients that they're supporting, found it very difficult to communicate. And what we found is that there are a number of factors. And so in this particular scenario, this was a client from about 2 years ago. They were having a difficult conversation because they opted out of the conversations. We had the college students who were really like, oh, it's okay, playing the student role when they were supposed to be more of a consultant or some type of subject matter expert. But what happened is they fell into what we call the norms, all right? So when it comes to conflict and our confidence in conflict, we tend to be paralyzed by societal norms, all right? So you say, what societal norms, Dawn? Where are you going with this? In this particular workplace, the students had norms, the professors had norms, the clients, which were small businesses and nonprofits, had norms, and then other partners like volunteers also had norms. So it was this whole, let me wait and see who's going to tell me what to do, right? And so when we're waiting for people to inform us of what we can do, that creates conflict. On the student side of the house, we had students ready to provide input, but the societal norm of being a student as opposed to a peer or a teacher clouded their judgment. And so they literally sat back for weeks and did nothing, like kind of sat in a student mode, right? So that meant when businesses would bring up things, they were like, okay, if that's what you want to do, as opposed to saying, no, this could be, or have you tried X, Y, and Z? So when we think about how we show up with our societal norms and how they impact our decision making, I want you to first think about your confidence. So think about the lens of the student. The student feels, I'm only blank years old. I'm in this particular generation. So I'm having to correct people who are my parents and grandparents' age. Think about that. That creates an internal conflict, and it impacts a student's confidence because they don't feel that they can speak up because they have a student hat. When you think about the administrators are like, okay, I'm giving you the reins. We want the businesses and the students to all talk together, but we don't want to get in the middle. So if you think about the confidence that the instructors and professors had to kind of hold back, that created a confidence issue because they were like, should I jump in? But I want the students to have a say. Should I tell the clients, or should I just sit in my role as a professor and just advise as opposed to recommend? More conflict. And then if you look at the business organization standpoint, they're like, okay, I don't know the school nor the students, so I'm a little hesitant about showing them anything because I'm a small business and I don't want to look a certain way, right? More conflict. And so their confidence in sharing information was one that struck literally for about 6 weeks. And we were in like a 10-week incubator. And so what we learned from that experience and the lesson I want to share with you today is your confidence is directly impacted when you are not willing to talk through or acknowledge the conflict you are facing, whether it's personal or professional. So in a professional environment, yes, I have people who are negatively impacted because they don't feel they can speak up to their bosses, or they don't feel that they can speak up on a certain project because it's not their particular role. Then you have bosses who may not want to share because it's like, hey, this very eager upcoming employee can basically put me out of a job, right? And so when we think about the whole context around conflict in the workplace, I gave an example from higher education as a part of a community collaborative. But think about it. Those same issues and opportunities exist. And so what's the thing that we can do? I'm going to give you three things that you can use right now to improve your confidence in conflict at work. Number one, take a self-assessment. The self-assessment allows you to say, hey, my biases are here. You know, my insecurities are here. My willingness and my desire to be promoted are here. You know, think about that. And what I want you to do is to take 20 minutes to just look at where you are in your career. And then as you write these things out for 20 minutes, go back and ask yourself why. After you read every sentence, say why. Next sentence, why? Next sentence, why? And continue throughout your entire script. And as you find your why, circle it, write it in a different color, or highlight it if you're typing everything out. Because those things are going to be the triggers that you need to build the confidence that you desire and deserve to reduce conflict in the workplace. So that's number one. Number two is to, I'm going to say, increase your bars, upskill yourself, find a way for you to get whatever it is that you circled or that you highlighted addressed. So I'm going to give you a real life example. I know a leader in the nonprofit space who has been there for several decades. And what's happening is there's a surge of younger, more agile nonprofit leaders who will come into the space. And so this particular leader feels incredibly, the word is bothered by that, okay? And so what what it has done is created a scarcity mindset in this leader. And this leader is very hesitant about promoting and showcasing the talent within the team. So what does that do to the morale of the team, right? If that leader would have taken the time to write out all the things that make them great, all the things they have done, all the things that make them feel a little unsure at times, all the things they want to do, they could have developed their own, which is part number two, specialized plan, their own development plan to shore up or upskill themselves so then they can too be open for the opportunities that are coming. And so in that upskilling piece, you really have to ask yourself this one question. Do I really want what I wrote down? And B, does it make a difference if I secure it or take it or complete it? Okay. So for this leader who had challenges with time management, reading the book, which I'm advising for a client today, reading the book, the 20-week year would have helped this leader understand that you too can develop skills to make you more competitive. All right. So number two, upskill yourself. Find one thing that you want to work on and work on it for 30, 60, or 90 days, and then reassess yourself. And number three is look at your circle, look at your group, find people who have the skills that you desire, who have the things that you feel will help you in your journey, and seek a mentor or coach. That increases your confidence threefold. So I am done with our time today. I've given you the three things that will help you increase your confidence as a leader at work. Number one, take full inventory of yourself. Write everything down, highlight, underline, circle the things that are very good, the things that are opportunities for you, and then prioritize those. Number two, upskill of the things that you underlined, highlighted, and circled that you've prioritized. Pick one of those that you'll work on for the next 30, 60, or 90 days and go do it. And then reassess yourself at the end of that time period. And then third is to seek a coach or a mentor in that area. So for me, I have lots of mentors and lots of coaches, but they are specialized in certain things that I need in my deficiencies. And I want to encourage you to do the same. So when you do that, your confidence is surely to increase and your stress at work should go down tremendously. I am Dawn Stone, the Conflict Chick. I hope this has been helpful. Don't forget to like, share, follow, and let me know how you're doing on your journey. All right. Have an amazing day. Bye-bye.